Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hey everybody, how are you doing with me in studio today? We are ready to traverse the inner landscapes of voice and explore those big questions. And so in studio are the brothers Corin, Isaac, and Torald. Torald and Isaac are coaches. They're mentors for expanding creative expression, and they're leading people to a more embodied experience. They are also transformational leaders. And of course, they are musicians and songwriters whose mission it is to hear the world's song one big voice at a time. So welcome to Voice Rising, Isaac and Torald.
Thank you so much, Kara. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. We're very grateful. Thank you, Kara.
Yeah. So I'm going to start this conversation in a very, hopefully, easy place before we go into those bigger questions that we all carry within us. Share with us one of your strongest childhood memories of music and voice.
Wow. Well, this is Torald. I would say one of my strongest memories was seeing the reaction my mother had when I was singing in the bathroom and realizing and discovering maybe the voice is a magical thing. Because I remember her reaction. I'd actually just finished watching Annie the Musical, which I feel like is a common story somewhere out there. and I was in the bathroom, and it was this beautiful marble bathroom with great acoustics, and I was practicing what was in my head, which is that it was tomorrow. And I realized I could kind of do a little bit of this vibrato thing. And I had, an unbroken young boy's voice, and I could sort of just hear the vibrato, and I was fascinated by it. So I kept repeating it, and I came out of the bathroom
and so music came as a big surprise to me when I was 15, my new best friend, Yaniv, in high school, great guitarist. We were at a high school weekend party on Saturday night, sitting up against the ute or the pickup truck in Australia. Yeah. And there was about 50 kids around, and he looked up at me in this one moment, intense moment of his jam song that I was sitting next to him while he was playing. And he stared at me and he said, "Sing for me, Zach." And his request was so powerful. It gave me the permission. It gave me the permission to sing. And so I suddenly just started wailing the blues, perhaps you could say. And everyone rallied, crowded round, and finished, and the jam finished. And he said, "I didn't know you could sing." And I was like, "I can't sing." I was still in the "I can't sing" moment. he said, "No, you can sing. In fact, you've got a beautiful voice, and I want you to sing for my band. I'll teach you the lyrics, and we've got a gig in 2.5 weeks."
Wow.
So it was such a powerful request. Most of my friends were in the band anyway, and I the crowd of friends didn't give me an option to say no. So 2.5 weeks later, I had my first ever performance in front of 250 kids, and I was hooked. And I continued to resist it and think I was going to be a lawyer, but music kept coming in and grabbing my attention. But that was my first moment of music at 15.
Yeah, it's empowering, huh? That moment. So you guys have toured with Coldplay and Pink and Rod Stewart and played huge arenas and all that jazz. And at the same time, something shifted along the way. And you understood that maybe you had a different message for the world or you had something else to give. So where was that turning point for you that you decided to step out of that one big, well, maybe you're still in the big music industry, I don't know, but it sounds like from what you're doing, you're forging new paths and you're really supporting a lot of people to live also their own lives as singer-songwriters or creating big voices. So what was that turning point for you?
Well, what a fabulously big question. I mean, you know, like anything, when you're in the midst and the throes of it, you don't always see everything that's unfolding. What we could definitely see now is that as we were pursuing the, you know, childhood dream of standing out on a big stage and singing out to thousands of people, and along our pathway to doing that, or, you know, reaching or not reaching the aims we had for that, I think both Isaac and I had this thirst to reach people, not just like us on a stage and them in the audience, but we were always trying to find a way to break that third wall, to get to them, to mm-hmm. radically include them. And we look for every possible way to do so. And on a break from touring, we had a very strong gut feeling to relocate to Los Angeles to develop other voices. And I've been a voice coach for 20 years, and Isaac and I, in different ways, have mentored different people and helped first-time people write songs just out of a desire to connect and help people tell their stories. So we thought, well, we'll move to Los Angeles and step into that side of the music business with all our connections. And a couple months into the experience off tour, we were both really unsatisfied with the experience, mm-hmm. because we were really writing for people that we weren't in the room with. And it was setting up a situation where we were assuming and projecting what someone might like in a song that they might step into. And we both finally admitted it to each other that this wasn't our way. And we simply asked the question, well, what is it then? And in this fabulous 1-hour conversation, we were driving through LA, hopelessly lost because we were so distracted by our conversation, that in the midst of driving around Civic Center Drive in Beverly Hills, we had this crazy download. And to this day, it was one of the best songs we've written. That what if we became, at the time, what if we became a first-time artist's new brothers? What if we became that fostering, nurturing environment where we had moved from inception across multiple stages of discovery to arrive at song? And at that point, what if we stayed involved until it was shared and celebrated with the world? And we looked at all the producers we'd worked with and all the experiences we'd had and said, what if we put what we never had in our best experiences, and what if we became those kind of brothers to someone's voice? And so we said, well, that's a pretty amazing idea. And a couple of weeks later, someone reached out to us and said, do you ever work with a young girl that is a big fan of your music? And we said, it's funny you should ask. So we put together this experience. At the time, it became the songwriter's journey. Mm-hmm. And she mm-hmm. came out from Washington and worked with us, and we went to the next voice and the next voice and the next voice. And by about 4 people in, we realized this might be for anyone, for all voices, from all walks of life. And over the last 5 years, we've journeyed with around 110 people, about 75 of which was privately over the course of 6 to 9 months, and some of which were done in small fleets, small groups. And it's the same songwriter's journey that came to us in that hour. And it's been a remarkable experience. It's entirely changed us. It's brought us into the center and the heart of what it means to help you know, coax someone, not just vocal coaches, but vocal coaxes, we like to call it, help coax someone through what we've sort of discovered are the three foundational pieces of someone's big voice, and really help them arrive at the songs that will hold container for that voice, be it the first time or a reclaiming opportunity to step into song that that person had always wished they could have written with the right creative reflective mirror.
So what are for you the three pillars of that songwriting journey?
We have three pillars. First is you are, or everyone is, a unique, or has a unique musical cosmology. And by that we mean everyone hears music differently. And you know, it's been shown that our eardrums are unique, just as unique, if not more than our fingerprint. And so we like to get inside people's hearing, so to speak, and really hear music from their perspective. And we find that no one that we've worked with has ever had the same kind of hearing. Our second is the whole body instrument. And Tarald has been a coach on that for 20 years, as he said. And our third pillar is you are a unique and valuable story worth being heard. So those are our three pillars.
So why is it so important that everybody share their own voice print and their own unique story? Why is it such powerful magic? I mean, I know this because I'm a coach myself, and I know what happens when that does happen. But why do you think it's so transformational, which it is? What's behind that?
Yeah, I mean, what a beautiful question. I mean, to us, voicing oneself and you know, voicing oneself stands alone without the medium, music, song, or singing. But obviously, our specialty are those things, just like they are yours. But voicing oneself is done in every moment. We wake, from the moment we wake to the moment we go to sleep, we are in an environment in the world with others. And we are a series of how we are amplified and how we listen, so how we receive and how we give out. And our, not just our livelihood, but our survival depends on our ability to be seen, be heard, to be understood, and to be valuable. And each of us have a unique value when we actually step out of the pop culture myths of looking good and sounding good. Isaac and I really love to really blow apart the pop culture myths that we all are constantly inundated with, particularly perfection. There's a way to sound, there's a way to be voiced, there's a way to come across. And really it's going beyond comparison and competition and getting back to the heart of what it is that wants to come out of you. And that when someone really steps back in and voices oneself and is actually heard and received, their value is inherently present. As soon as that occurs, they're there, and remarkable things get to happen.
Yeah. I mean, do you think it's also, it seems like we were all born with that powerful voice, and all of us have somewhere that memory of standing in a room and dancing freely and having everybody around us encourage our first words and our first babbling and our first ideas. And then somewhere many of us lost it. So
yes. It
seems like a lot of times, when I've been coaching, it's almost this really, really deep longing. Because we know the space of full acceptance and unconditional love. We know the space of being in a room and feeling totally okay to dance when we hear a beat and everyone's actually taking out the cameras and saying, look at little Mary or Jimmy, you know, take their first steps or do their first song. And then we lose that innocence, or many people lose it. And we don't lose the ability to run, and we don't lose the ability to go jogging, and we don't lose the ability to crawl, but voice is that personal, is that powerful, right?
Yes. And I think it's the first, you know, in the beginning was the voice. We come out of our mothers and we cry.
Right.
And it's our first survival mechanism. It's our first tool. It's our first transaction with the world.
Right.
It's our
right.
first,
well, I mean,
it's our
yeah,
first
of course,
way of reaching out.
We voice before we can crawl, before we can walk, before we can write. We voice, right?
And perhaps that's why it's, it becomes so far from our reach, is because it's so buried deep. It's often mm-hmm. those that are proximally near that get furthest away.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it could be. Exactly. Or it's because, I don't know, it's because we also absorb the voices from people around us that are important to us, so our parents or our teachers, and that turns into our inner critics, you know, and
absolutely.
We forget in the schoolroom of 25 people in a class where we don't have that same space to articulate that uniqueness, that we tend to lose our own, our own truth. We're going to take a little break. Bring you back in 2 minutes with the brothers Corin, Isaac, and Torald.
Thank you.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com. and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
Why was the basketball court all wet?
Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kara Johnson, and you are at Voice Rising. With me in studio are the brothers Corin, Torald, and Isaac, singer-songwriters, coaches, mentors for expanding creative expression, and they're leaders in this beautiful transformational world that we live in. Why don't one of you talk about, we're talking about just empowering people and getting people to open up as songwriters and as singers, and even people that have never walked in that or on that path of believing that they're singers and songwriters, and you guys do your magic and open their voices and really honor their stories. Talk about being comfortable with the uncomfortable, how important that is.
Oh, absolutely. Well, becoming comfortable with being uncomfortable is a process of, to me, first and foremost, being okay, being home in the body or the whole body instrument you've been gifted and given this lifetime to be in. And it was a hard one experience to get to for me as a human being. As a young teenager, began coaching The Voice, and I had this intuitive call to coach what I call the whole body instrument, which was just really a holistic approach to returning to the whole body as an instrument. And maybe in a true hero's journey, if you will, when I was in my early adult years, I had a trauma that created an adult onset critical case of obsessive compulsive disorder. Mm-hmm. And in that moment in my life, all of my foibles from my childhood years came out, and I underwent about a decade of being super scared to be home in my body, super afraid and unsafe feeling. And through pretty much a miracle, in my early 30s, I had this incredible moment where I made a commitment to come back home into the instrument itself. And within weeks, I started coaching again. I came pretty close to losing it all. And in a matter of weeks, I started taking on a few new voice clients. And I got this very strong feeling to coach what I'd been discovering. And instead of coaching what I was prior, I started to coach this new behavioral approach to being home. To be radically courageous and actually form a new relationship to being uncomfortable when the body and all of the noises, thoughts, feelings, and sensations that are automatic within the body and the mind were telling me to pop cultural narrative that one must be fearless. We call out because to us, it's the dirt, it's the uncomfortabilities that are part of the dynamic spectrum. Yeah.
And after, you know, probably 1,000 songs with different people, we've noticed that if you can speak, if you can talk, you can sing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's really just, there's a handful of small voices, we call, that get in the way of you and your big voice being shared and celebrated and getting past that barrier. So in the beginning, there's, you know, the small voice or variations of it. I'm not good enough. So when I first sang, I was beyond I'm not good enough. I can't sing. And there's a lot of people in the I can't sing. And when we meet them, you know, I personally get incredibly excited, and because I know what's possible from I can't sing everything. And, you know, so, and then if you can get past I'm not good enough, then often you can feel the I'm not safe. Like I got past I'm not good enough. Now I'm singing and I feel really unsafe. And, you know, a lot of people with, for example, sexual trauma, that can show up as an unsafe to use my voice. Or, you know, someone, you know, in growing up as a minority, feeling unsafe, that can also, you know, I will attract attention by using my voice and therefore I'll be unsafe. So, you know, a lot of physical trauma can come up once you start, you know, using your voice. And so that's another small voice that comes up. And then, you know, often people don't feel worthy of using their voice. Perhaps their mother or their father gave up singing or music or their vocation, gave up their voice, and they don't want to stand out because of how it would affect someone else, you know. And so often worthiness comes up, you know, especially if they're having a great experience of using their voice and then suddenly their unworthiness shuts down. So we find that a lot in ourselves and others. And then, you know, if you can get past all these small voices, it's like an obstacle course the critic creates for you, right? And if you can get past that, we often get to the perfectionist towards the end of the creative process. And that one is very, you know, has claws to it in a way, because it's vicious. And it's in pop culture, like Carl said before. And so there's even, you know, obviously on Instagram and all that, there's applications that you can use to perfect your appearance. And in the music business, there's, you know, singing without auto-tune is almost, auto-tune is the norm. And so we've gotten used to being able to perfect our voices, so to speak, and keep them perfectly pitched. So we call out to that and say, you know, you are exactly how you are meant to be and how you're meant to sound. And sometimes we find that it's the imperfections in voices that really point to who they are and give you an emotional experience. So we're a call back to rawness and imperfection as the beauty. And so if we can get past that handful, you know, five or so small voices, then what's left is that quiet, often silent, and yet, you know, that sacred space that we would call your big voice, that something unique that when you're called into being or requested to sing or you know, when it's your time to stand up and speak out, if you can get past those small voices, then you will encounter yourself like no one else will ever be. You will sound, you are someone who's never been and will never be again. And so a voice is that imprint, that sonic imprint of who that is. So much is possible when you've reclaimed your voice.
Powerful. Doing powerful work out there. Besides doing these amazing programs, the Songwriter's Journey and also your big voice, you have also decided to create a new acoustic duo. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's, yeah. We didn't mean to do it. We certainly didn't set out to do another artist project. Isaac and I have been partnering up since our teenage dream band, The Kin, and then we began another artist project, writer-producer team in LA, accidentally called Braves. And now we found ourselves on the request of one of our greatest original supporters in New York City, a man named Ken Rockwood, who started Rockwood Music Hall, which is, a singer-songwriter institution in New York. And we went back and did a little Brothers Corin show, really to talk about the songwriter's journey and weave songs in. He connected with us and said to Isaac backstage, I want to sign you guys. And we said, well, what does that mean? You know, so we got on a Zoom call when we were back in Ohio and LA and in California and said, we just want to ask you, do you mean The Kin? And he was like, no. And we went, do you mean like a brother thing? Do you mean like, and we went, well, would it be acoustic? Would it be some of those stories we always got to do? And he was like, that's exactly it. And we said, well, we might actually take you up on that. So what we did behind the scenes was took the opportunity to take ourselves on the songwriter's journey that we'd been taking so many people on. Mm-hmm. And it was over the course of about a year. We did it quietly. We told no one. And we walked through the stages that we get to nurture someone through together and found that place within what was wanting to come forth that was shared and that was now. And it was incredible. It was a remarkable experience to really let it percolate and come forward. And we ended up in Sonic Ranch, which is in El Paso, Texas, on this 3,000-acre pecan farm with one of the best neve boards in the world, with this incredible gear and our favorite producer from our Kin history, who created an album we did called Rise and Fall. And it was idyllic. It was this incredible artist experience that we didn't know we'd ever have. And we're really proud of this record, and it really has a distillation and a focus that I think without the journey itself, we wouldn't have alchemized so clearly. It's almost like we found the Venn diagram between two men, two brothers that we struggled to find in some other projects like The Kin, where I think this was very focused, and it shows for it. It's very rewarding to see it coming out this year.
Your first single is Gold, and it's being released on February 14th. Is that correct?
We would lay awake for hours. Conversations gotten sour, just like our love. And we'd talk about the smoke and all the words we broke, just like our love.
Listening to Isaac and Tarald Corin. The new band is Francisco. That was the single called Gold. And I believe your new debut album with this band is I Went to the Sea to Be Free.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, it's the title track, I Went to the Sea to Be Free, is written from the perspective of our late grandmother, who we never got to meet. Her name was Evelyn. And on Mother's Day, 45 years ago, she took off her wedding ring and flew off in her own plane out into the sea and was never seen again.
Wow.
And she was struggling from, we never got to see her, but, you know, from tales of her, you know, she was suffering from depression and, you know, a level of not being seen and heard that got so critical that she couldn't perhaps handle her life anymore. And
So did the most extreme thing one can do and, leave. And she left three boys, her father being the oldest of three. And so that kind of began our ancestral work, really, to connect back to that. And then, our mother left our father when I was 15, Tara was 11, and she also had a dream that was unmet. Her voice had been stifled, and she was creatively unexpressed. And so she made the decision to leave Australia and move to New York City to pursue her dreams in the theater and acting and such. She was in the original cast, the Pacific cast of Hair, musical, mm-hmm. and then had three kids and felt like, she had a whole life to live, and she was right. and so a lot of the people we work with are, in a similar place where they know that they have music inside them and a voice that can't stay silent. And so, it's our honor to be doing the work that we've done on ourselves with others.
And I feel like a huge thing we get to do with someone is, debunk that it's too late or they're not good enough because they've never done it. They never put in the hours. We take great pleasure in helping first time people that have it within them to try for the first time, whether they be, 40, 50, 60, 70. We just, every single time we love to help debunk that myth that they've been living with by walking with them along the path, heading out into the unknown, setting sail and returning to shore and celebrating what we tricked each other into doing.
Fantastic. You guys, we're going to take another very, very short break, and then we're going to be back with more about transformational voice work and empowerment.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is Kara Johnstad. You are back at Voice Rising, and with me today in studio is Torold and Isaac Corin. They're not only singer-songwriters and musicians, they are coaches and mentors, but I would say a very, very precious people that are able to hold space as we step into that very bold place of living our true voice or tapping into what's really honest in our lives. You guys, you were sharing a little bit about your grandma and your own mom and your own path. And we, of course, heard how important it is to be heard, because many people that aren't heard and aren't seen, they struggle with depression. They struggle with not feeling that their life is valued or is important. And we live in those layers of songs. I mean, you guys are in the music industry. You know how important not only it is for ourselves to tap into our own stories, but we're constantly also looking for powerful songs to help us and support us, right, to stay in balance or to be happier or to be more able to process grief, etc. What makes a story worth telling time and time and time again? What makes it, yeah, what makes us long to hear those songs again and again and again?
Well, you started with what makes a story worth telling time and time again. You know, what floods me immediately is, you know, Isaac and I have never met an unfascinating person. Every single person we've gotten the chance to sit with has a story to tell, and it doesn't need you know, embellishment. You know, really getting to the heart of what they've been through. This life, others, breakdowns into potential gifts and breakthroughs. Every one of them is a documentary. Every one of them is a interwoven web of complexities and things to draw from in every person once they get in touch with it. And so we love to help people realize how fascinating they are. And then to us, the song component is really about having a container.
A safe space, yeah.
And that container, that medium, dare we say, that excuse to express and create a playground for that story of which they are, becomes really the soundtrack to their life, soundtrack to their story. Mm-hmm. Whether it be one song, like we go on these small groups of women, up to about 9 or 10, where each woman is on her own songwriter's journey. It just so happens that heading out into the unknown next to her is a small fleet of other women heading out on their songwriter's journey, and they come back to shore with a song captured and recorded. However, some people have the desire and the need to tell many, many stories, many songs.
And it's not just, it's not that we don't work with men. We've opened it up to men, but it's only been women that have done our group. So that's why Torold was saying that. But your big voice will be, we predict, will be, you know, it's an online course that we're putting out this year that we predict will have both men and women in the cohort. It is fascinating to us, like Torold said, that people can walk around their life and assume that their story isn't interesting. And so, again, it's the people that find themselves unfascinating or, you know, just normal that are, you know, most interesting to us in a way, because there's such a transformation that's possible when they wake up to how unique they are and how special it, you know, their life is really, and worth telling. And a song becomes, like Carl said, a good excuse, a justification for people to tell their story. But it's a safe, it's more than that. It's a safe place for them to do some self-study and some real shadow work. It's really, other than talk therapy, you know, art therapy is a very powerful way to see yourself and to really be honest and take stock in
in the shadow work as well as, you know, the healing work, and just claiming that the tough stuff that you've been through, owning it, owning the pain that you've been, instead of running from it, you know, often makes for a really good song. Honesty, you know, this is where I've been. In the verse, perhaps, you know, telling your story, how it is, tell it like it is. What actually happened to you? What did you make it mean? How did you suffer? And then, you know, that's the dark night of your soul. And then in the chorus, perhaps, you know, perhaps you rise out of it and show what's possible at the end of it. You know, perhaps in the chorus, you'll show how grateful you are that you actually went through that difficult thing, because now you found your vocation, and now you found your purpose through this difficult challenge, you know. So we often find that music is transformational in that it tells our story from the beginning and shows our heroic journey, so that we can actually value the pain and the suffering as it moves towards our gift.
Is there something also very healing that happens not only in the writing of that story and owning it and putting it into your voice, but when you, I'm assuming on the path of the songwriter's journey, there's a moment that you're singing in front of a group or sharing that work. And I know for me as a performer, there's something that's incredible that happens is when you have the story that may have been wrapped in shame or guilt or struggle, and then you manage to put that into that container, and then you share that, and the room reflects back through, you know, recognition or applause. Something is freed because you realize you're not the only one in this world who maybe has had a financial crash or a relationship that has gone wrong or had a best friend that has committed suicide, or, you know, there's something that's like a unity consciousness that happens when we start really listening to each other's stories and lifting each other up.
Yes, exactly. It's knowing that we're not alone is a powerful experience. And yeah, we agree. I mean, I think half of the power of music is in celebrating and sharing.
Right,
you know, so
right.
Half of the benefits of music happen in the creative process and meeting yourself and self-reflection through the process and really seeing what's there. And then the other half, and also the small voices rear up once you've finished the song. Well, we're not showing this. Good job. You know, it's not good enough, or it's not perfect enough. You don't deserve to be shared or celebrated here. Just keep it to yourself. You know, they pipe up again, and really that crossing the threshold of sharing, celebrating yourself with the world, like you just said, you know, we find that is the other doorway that music invites us through, that is so
right.
Healing.
Yeah. So
where we see we're
so
not alone.
What is the one? Yeah, we're not alone anymore, right? There's this really, the humanity is, we are diverse and yet we're so unified. I think that's the amazing thing with music. We are so unique and yet mm-hmm. we all are so, I mean, that's the amazing thing about voice is what I think, is that we are all so unique. And yet if we sing together that refrain, or we're all united as one. I mean,
we are one. Yes, exactly.
We are one, right? So what is the one thing about mm-hmm. voice you would love everyone to understand and experience?
Oh.
I know it's hard. It's a trick question.
Yeah, no, it's not hard. It's a great, it's a beautiful question. I would like everyone to know the obvious, which is each of us have this voice. And the way to access your voice is the opposite of what we've been taught by media, by the way we've put voice and perfection and looking good, sounding good on a pedestal, like there's a way to sound. I would like everyone to know that the discovery of that real voice within them is through
returning to the experience of what it feels like to sound out themselves, what it feels like with entire, utter, almost rebellious disregard for what it sounds like, but what it feels like, that the doorway to that satisfaction is through experience, not performance. And that when we go through what we call in our work, the experiential doorway, the world gets what they're looking for, which is performance, and the human being gets an experience, which is really where the gems and the divinity comes from of someone's voice.
Yeah.
So the doorway through experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think we can heal the world if we dare to change the narrative?
Yes.
Perfect. Where can people find more? Where can people discover more about your music, about your workshops, about the amazing journeys that you are offering people, I believe, privately and in group sessions, the songwriter's journey and your big...
We love hearing about people's stories and voices. And so this 30-minute Zoom, we find, gives people a real sense of who they are musically and as a voice. And so we offer that for free because we just love it. We love this work. And we also can let you know to see if there's a way in which we could work together, but really it's no pressure, 30-minute exploratory Zoom with the brothers to experience your big voice for just 30-minute call. It's a deep dive with us. And if you go to yourbigvoice.com, yourbigvoice.com, you can request us there.
Oh, yeah, good. I also have brotherscorin.com, yourbigvoice.com. An amazing opportunity, a discovery session with you guys so that people can feel even more seen and heard and really share the passion that they might have for taking the jump and discovering their true voice. I thank you. In German, you say, vom Herzen, from the depths of my heart, actually. We're on a very similar journey, and I think what you're doing out there is so important for our world. I really think it's magnificent that you guys have created that platform, and I wish you all the success in the world to continue to open voices and to heal, help people heal through songwriting and through telling their stories.
Thank you, Karen. We feel the same about you.
Thank you for your beautiful work
and requesting us, and I'm so happy you're out there emerging all of these voices too, and we're really grateful to be connected.
We do hope to come to Berlin one day. We hear it's a wonderful place.
Come, Berlin's waiting for you. We are waiting for you.
I have
a school too, if you ever want to do a tiny workshop, a big workshop in a lovely place, you're more than welcome.
Thank you, Kara.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.